Will you pray with me? Oh, precious Father, the one and only God, the King of kings and Lord of lords, we just invite you today. Would you speak through your servant today? Would you give me your words, your thoughts? And I just give you all I have in the highest name and the only name worthy of praise, in the name of Jesus, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen. All right. So I love mountain biking, and I especially love the climb. It's really hard work. It takes a good bike. It takes skill, power, and the cardiovascular system all working together to make it up mountains. The downhill, that's another story for me. It takes all of those things that it takes to go uphill, plus one, commitment. I have learned that any hesitation at all on the downhill, and there are some serious consequences. I learned that the only way to go downhill is to be 100% committed. Today, we're going to be looking at Isaiah 11, 1 through 3. But before we begin, let's get some context to our story. Isaiah 1, 3 says, I raised and brought up children, but they rebelled against me. An ox knows its owner, and a donkey its master's stall, but Israel does not know. My people do not reflect. Israel experienced the consequence of destruction due to their disobedience. They didn't understand that instead of choosing commitment to faith, they chose commitment to unbelief. Though Israel met destruction and lived the consequences of turning their backs on God, there's good news. Isaiah 11, 1 through 3 says, Then a shoot will spring up from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. This is our Messiah. This is Yeshua HaMashiach. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Let's break down the characteristics of the Spirit that rested on Messiah. First, the Spirit of wisdom. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. This is the Ruach, Kodesh, the set-apart Spirit. Then we have the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of wisdom is Hahama, something like that. And it's referring to skill and wits. So 1 Kings 3, 16 through 28 gives us an example of the Spirit working in this way. At that time, two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One woman said, please, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. On the third day after I gave birth, this woman also had a baby. We were alone with no one in the house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died because she rolled over on him. She got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I was asleep. She laid him in her bosom and put her dead son in my bosom, or at my bosom. The next morning, when I got up to nurse my son, I discovered he was dead. But when I examined him, I realized that he was not the son I had born. No, said the woman, the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son. But the first woman insisted, no, the dead one is yours, and the living one is mine. So they argued before the king. Then the king replied, this woman says my son is alive and yours is dead, but that woman says, no, your son is dead and mine is alive. The king continued, bring me a sword. So they brought him a sword, and the king declared, cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. This always chokes me up. Then the woman whose son was alive spoke to the king because she yearned with compassion for her son. Please, my lord, she said, give her the living baby. Do not kill him. But the other woman said, he will be neither mine nor yours. Cut him in two. Then the king gave his ruling. Give the living baby to the first woman. By no means should you kill him. She is the mother. When all Israel heard of the judgment the king had given, they stood in awe of him, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. Then we have the spirit of understanding, Bina, which is about discernment and truth. And Job 32:8 says, oh, there it is. But there is a spirit in a man, the breath of the Almighty that gives him understanding. And this is the word, Bina, discernment and truth. Then we have the spirit of counsel and strength. Now the spirit of counsel, the word is etza, and it deals with plan and design. And here we see it played out. Now let Pharaoh look for a man discerning and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh take action to appoint overseers in charge of the land and let him exact a fifth of the produce of the land in Egypt in the 7 years of abundance. Then let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain for food in the cities under Pharaoh's authority and let him guard it. Let the food become as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which will occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land will not perish during the famine. Now the proposal seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his servants. Then Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this, in whom is a divine spirit? So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you of all of this, and there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. So then we see the spirit of strength, which is Geburah. It's courage and mighty acts. Judges 14:19 says, then the spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon, killed 30 of their men, took their apparel, and gave their clothes to those who had solved the riddle. And burning with anger, Samson returned to his father's house. And then 2 Samuel 23:20, and Benaniah, son of Jehoiada, something like that, was a man of valor from Kabzeel, a man of many exploits. He struck down two champions of Moab, and on a snowy day, he went down into a pit and killed the lion. I love this. This is what God's Spirit working in us does, amazing things, things we could never do otherwise. And then we have the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. Uh-oh, hold on just a second. My little notes wanted to go away. Where did we end up? The fear of knowledge? Or, wait. Spirit of knowledge. Here we go. Sorry. The spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The spirit of knowledge is da'at. It's a knowing, a premeditation. Daniel 5:11-12 says, there is a man in your kingdom in whom is a spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of your father, illumination, insight, and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, appointed him chief of the magicians, conjurers, Chaldeans, and diviners. This was because an extraordinary spirit, knowledge, and insight, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and solving of difficult problems were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Let Daniel now be summoned, and he will declare the interpretation. And then we see the fear of the Lord, which is Yirah, and it means extreme fearing, fear, reverence. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom, your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for your own advantage. But if you scoff, you alone will bear the consequences. And then and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. I love this word delight because it comes from ruach, but it's actually riach, and it means to accept, to smell, to touch, to make quick understanding, to perceive order. So if we rewrite this, and he will be a soothing aroma in the fear of the Lord, and we can be too. When we choose to be 100% committed to God, his ways, we too get to have the Spirit rest on us. And we become a soothing aroma when we choose to fear the Lord too. Acts 5, 31 through 32 says, "He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and a savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, to whom God has given to those who obey him." I learned that the only way to make it downhill on my bike was to make a decision to commit 100%, to take action, even to do it afraid, and yell over and over, "Committed, committed, committed," all the way down the hill until I make it to the bottom, no matter the consequences. We too must choose to be 100% committed to God in his ways, to take action in following him. It is then that we get to be ready for him to work his spirit through us, however he chooses, for the work he wants to do through us. Psalm 37:5 says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do it." The definition of committed is bound or obligated to a person or a thing, as by pledge or assurance, devoted. Like Israel, we all have to make a choice to be committed to faith or to be committed to unbelief. I pray that we all choose to be committed, committed, committed to the God of Israel. Thank you.